2 of that 590 show coming at you live right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Very excited about our next guest. He is the host of the Nothing But Knicks podcast and the digital media director for Gotham SN. You can follow him on Twitter at Claudio_GSN. Andrew Claudio, how are you, my friend?
What's up, gentlemen? How are we doing today?
Doing well. Doing well. I don't know about you, but I think it's not a lemon booty watch that's going on right now in Golden State, but I think it's a lemon booty warning. Because if Golden State lose, they're already hearing the whispers. Like, you know what? We've seen this before. Golden State up 3-1. We kind of know how this movie ends. But if they lose this game tonight at home and that place going crazy, oh, man, I would not want to be in their heads.
The crazy part about tonight is, and I'm sure I'm going to get asked my prediction for tonight, is
of course.
I don't see how the Warriors lose. I don't.
I didn't think they were going to lose Friday night, but there they were.
I mean, I didn't think so either, but it took a 49-point quarter, a record-setting first half, a record-setting three-point night, and questionable officiating for
That's
the
thing.
To even win. And they only won like by pulling away late in the fourth quarter. Like, they needed 137 points to outscore the Warriors, and you're asking them to do that again on the road in a building, like you said, that's going to be a hostile environment and ready for a party. I don't see how it happens. But, man, if the Warriors lose tonight, we have 2 days to think about it.
Yes.
We have so much to talk. Like, the talking heads are going to happen. The
yes.
thought of, are we about to do this again? We got to go back to Cleveland, and then it's LeBron and Kyrie in a game 7 on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. It's lemon booty is the exact description that will be going on
yeah.
in Golden State.
That's, I think it's the reason why they have so much yellow over there is because of the disguise, the lemon booty they may be having. Did you think that Cleveland, maybe they found something in that game on Friday night? Like, you know what? Maybe we were showing these guys a little too much respect in Game 1 and Game 2. Game 3, we kind of, or Game 4, we kind of took it to them a little bit. You know, we played a little more physical, and we didn't respect them as much. We played, you know, we took it to the rack a little bit more. We fouled them hard, and then they fouled them often. Do you think maybe they found something on Friday night in Game 4?
I wouldn't put it to it as they took it to them as often. I think they just started hitting shots. Like, they took, well, they took 45 three-pointers in Game 4. They took 44 in Game 3. They just only hit 13 in Game 3. If honestly, if they turn half of those threes, like if they went, or even just 10 less threes in Game 3, and they went to the rim instead and either got a layup and got fouled, they win Game 3 and Game 4, and we're looking at a different series. I just think they started hitting shots. And I mean, Kevin Love was hitting threes. Kyrie Irving was 0 of 7 from three in Game 3, and then was hitting, I think he had 5 or 6 in Game 4. I really just check it up that they were making shots, and if they could do that again in Game 5, then yeah, we're looking at a completely different series again. I just think they're hitting shots.
I said this in the first segment, that if I'm Channing Frye, and you know that Draymond Green's just ready to explode. Like, he's an emotional guy, he's very volatile, and you know that you can get into his head. And if I'm Channing Frye, I'm going to be like, you know what, I'm going to tell Tyronn Lue this is what I'm going to do and see if I can get his blessing. But I just start, you know, effing with Draymond Green just during the pregame warm-ups. You know, in the layup line, if I see him, I start chirping at him. Every single time I see him run in front of the bench, I'm going to be chirping at him. When I get on the court, I'm going to be chirping at him, too, to see if I can get him out of his game. How effective do you think that would be? Because if Draymond Green does something crazy and kicks somebody in the junk again and gets thrown out, it completely changes the complexion of the game, in my opinion.
Well, I think your head's in the right place of you need to start getting in their head. You have to try and make this everything about everything but basketball if you're the Cavs. And you need another shining extra thing that the league will do, like suspending Draymond last year. Like, I mean, I keep going back to that play last year at the end of Game 4 where LeBron literally stepped over Draymond, and the human reflex is to then punch the guy that is stepping over you.
You're right.
I've done the same thing, and it's the genius move from LeBron to just go after a hothead who had a short fuse and decided to jeopardize his team. Honestly, if we're going after players and trying to get in their head, if you're Channing Frye, get in Kevin Durant's head. Like, do something to get Kevin Durant suspended for Game 6. Draymond Green is great, and he's a great defender, and he's probably the best defensive player outside of Kawhi Leonard in the league, but if I'm trying to get rid of one player for a Game 6, it's Kevin Durant.
Is Kyrie Irving the best finisher right now in the NBA, or is that still Russell Westbrook?
No, it's Kyrie. Because here's the thing about Westbrook is Westbrook probably goes the hardest that I've ever seen. He is like the ultimate energizer bunny. There are a lot of games where Westbrook does – a lot of moments where Westbrook doesn't finish at the rim, where when he gets to the rim, he gets fouled or he tries to dunk it and he doesn't make it. Like, Westbrook, if you look at his stats, he has a lot of 10 for 30 nights or like 8 for 24 nights. With Kyrie, I've never seen anybody this good finishing at the rim. That's Isaiah Thomas. That's Michael Jordan. That's LeBron James. Kyrie Irving, I have more confidence in a Kyrie Irving layup than I do in, like, a Dwight Howard dunk. Like, it's that much confidence I have in Kyrie Irving. It's one of the best things I've ever seen.
What's going on with Tristan Thompson? Because he has pretty much been a non-factor throughout this entire series. I mean, he's either scoring no points or he's scoring 8 points. He's not really rebounding. Although on Friday night he had a double-digit rebound game, but that's the most productive game he's had so far. What do you think is going on with Tristan Thompson?
So, I will say this. I don't buy any Kardashian curse.
Come on now.
I don't think these
Come
are
on
real.
Now. I was counting on you. I will
just throw that out there now. I think that's a mental thing. I think
when did you start
that there is a Kardashian curse?
Stop right there. When did you start dating one of the Kardashians, and why do you feel that way?
I cannot confirm nor deny any of these allegations that you're throwing my direction. All I can say is tune in. What day are they on? Tune in for the next episode of Keeping with the Kardashians.
On E,
boy,
I think.
At
yeah.
Claudio _ TSN. So as far as Tristan Thompson's concerned, I mean, he's really not asked to score, so I wasn't that concerned that he didn't have as many points as he probably could have. The offensive rebounds, I'm glad, are there. I think, I mean, we started this segment talking about the Cavs shooting three-pointers. Like, Tristan Thompson is not a three-point shooter, so he's going to be asked to shoot. They're shooting, like, the Cavs are shooting a lot of jump shots in this series, and anytime they're at the rim, it's LeBron or Kyrie, and they're making them. So I can't fault Tristan Thompson for kind of being a non-factor. The thing that you need from Tristan Thompson, it's very simple, and it goes back to the 2015 finals. It's neutralize Draymond Green. It's be a rim protector and neutralize Draymond Green. You be the Cavs version of Draymond. You get offensive rebounds. You play lockdown defense on the other end. We don't need you to do any more than that. And if you can do that, then we'll be successful. And in games 1-2 and half of game 3, he didn't do that.
Andrew Claudio joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Claudio_GSN. I think what the amazing thing is about these finals is that LeBron James is going to average a triple-double in these games. Let's say the game ends tonight, so it's going to be 5 games. More than likely, he's going to average a triple-double, and people who hate him are still going to say that he wasn't good enough.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the hot take culture. I mean, if you're a Kobe stan, you're going to look at every way you can to diminish LeBron James' legacy. If you're a Michael Jordan defender, you're going to look at this and say, see, like, the stats are nice, but he didn't get the job done, and 6 rings is more than 3, and LeBron's 3-5 in the finals, and just looking for all these hot takes. I mean, LeBron has faced the best team in the league probably 4 times. In his trips to the finals, that first time in 07, his last time that he faced the Spurs with the Heat, and then, honestly, you could probably say 5 times, all 3 times that he faced the Warriors, he was facing the best team in the league, and arguably the best 3-year stretch of a team ever. So I'm not going to get upset or diminish LeBron James's legacy when he's going against literal super teams and juggernauts. I mean, as far as the triple-double is concerned, we're about to have an MVP that won 47 games and is going to win the MVP because he averaged a triple-double. If we're allowed to reward Russell Westbrook for averaging a triple-double and hold it as this high an accomplishment, we got to then show respect to LeBron James for doing the exact same thing in a much higher level of competition in a much bigger stage against a much better team.
Rocky, what was the thing that you said last week that Michael Jordan in the finals has played only against like 9 Hall of Famers and LeBron James has played against like 20?
They are projected 26 Hall of Famers.
26 Hall of Famers.
In the finals matchups, yeah, Michael Jordan faced off against 9. Now, in fairness, those 9 Hall of Famers happen to be 9 of the best 25 maybe ever. 7, and then, yeah, LeBron James is going to be against, obviously, a projected 26, and that includes Manu Ginobili as a Hall of Famer. It includes Draymond Green as a Hall of Famer. And yeah, just saying, it's a very big disparity. Now, again, when you list the nine that Jordan did go up against, it's a very impressive list, and John Stockton and Karl Malone and all those guys. So it's a very impressive list, but nonetheless, it's a stark difference.
I mean, so here's my question about that. Is the 26 Hall of Famers, like, each year, this year, if you're saying he faced four, is that an additional three last year, even though three of them are repeats?
Like, there's a lot of repeats in there, too, right, because of all the years that he played the Spurs and...
Like he faced the Spurs three times and the Warriors three times. Are we counting, is that, like, seven, or is that, like, 9-9, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, but how many times you still have to face them, though, because, if you look at who Jordan played, when Jordan won his first title, it was against the Lakers, and the Showtime Lakers, they were done. The curtain was about ready to close. And then you had Barkley, that was the one and only time that he had been to the NBA Finals. Then you played the Portland Trail Blazers, I think they were kind of like on their last legs too.
I mean, the Trail Blazers had. I'm trying to think of the Hall of Famers the Trail Blazers had.
Clyde Drexler.
Is that it? Is it only Bill Walton?
Okay, I was going to say Walton was on that team too, so that's two right there. I don't think it's.
And then when
they played Seattle, the only
Hall of Famer there was Gary Payton. Yeah, that was it.
Malone and Stockton. I mean, I understand what we're saying as far as the Hall of Famer in the finals thing. But Michael Jordan also had to go through the Eastern Conference and had to play Alonzo Mourning and Reggie Miller and Patrick Ewing and Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars, and had to go through a very long list of Hall of Famers to get to the finals as well. If you're looking at LeBron in the East, I mean, I'm not going to say that DeMar DeRozan's a Hall of Famer. You can if you'd like to. I can't make
that'd be
that
the ultimate hot take.
Hot take in the year of our Lord 2017. I can't just do that. I think the road to the finals also has to be considered as well as who he plays in the finals, you know?
Do you think LeBron needs to stay in Cleveland, or do you think he needs to start looking elsewhere if he wants to try to run down number four, number five, and number six?
So obviously you're asking this because reports are leaking that LeBron wants to go someplace else in a couple of years. He wants to be someplace warm. I've heard the Lakers be talks. I've heard the Clippers eventually be talks and go team up with Chris Paul and potentially Carmelo. Here's my thing. If you're looking to win championships and you're looking to get to the finals every year, why are you leaving the Eastern Conference? And more importantly, why are you leaving Kyrie Irving? Like there are, to me, it's two moves the Cavs can make this offseason, and they'd become a much better team. And I cannot believe I'm saying this because it's close to home, but Carmelo Anthony would make this a much better team to compete with the Warriors, and not from a defensive perspective. He would slow the game down, which is how you beat the Warriors.
Absolutely.
You slow it down to a pace. And if he's just in that Kevin Love role where he's just spotting up from three, Melo can do that. He's a volume scorer. He can shoot the lights out. He's one of the best scorers ever. So if all you're asking Carmelo Anthony to do is, if you're open when LeBron James passes to you, shoot it and make it, he's going to do that more often than Kevin Love. They're probably a wash on defense. So, you know, if you do that and then you just kind of upgrade the bench to one more piece so that, I mean, Kyle Korver, again, might be an okay piece to bring back. The Cavs aren't that far away. Like, we're just going to forget that they've been to the finals three straight years. They don't need a complete teardown where LeBron leaves and goes someplace else, especially if you were to go out west. He then has to face the Warriors potentially in the conference finals or the conference semis, and he's got to face them four times a year. So I wouldn't see that being a better chance for him to win a championship than leaving a 25-year-old Kyrie Irving who's about to enter his prime.
Got to give it up to Claudio earlier when we were talking about that stat that was being thrown out. He asked the correct question, although LeBron still does take it. Individual times facing Hall of Famers, Jordan faced Magic Worthy, Clyde, Charles, Gary, Sean, Malone, Stockton, and so he faced eight.
Correct.
Across that one. LeBron has faced, taking away double appearances, Duncan, Ginobili, Parker, Kawhi, Durant, Westbrook, Harden, Dirk, Kidd, Curry, Thompson, Green. So he has faced 12 individual Hall of Famers. Now, that doesn't include the fact that Robert Horry was sitting on one of those Spurs teams.
You going to go out here and tell me Robert Horry's a Hall of Famer?
He might be eventually.
You think Robert Horry gets in the Hall of Fame?
He might be just on the fact that he's got so many numbers. I've seen people talk about he's one of the guys that slinks in.
I don't think so.
Man, if we start letting Robert Horry into the Hall of Fame, I'm going to have to rethink this whole basketball analogy.
I agree, but it also doesn't include spots like because Jason Terry was sitting on that Mavericks team. He could be a Hall of Famer one day. Andre Iguodala might be a Hall of Famer. That's not including those ones. I don't think he should
be.
You're
better off going Kawhi Leonard. Eventually, he will be in the Hall of Fame.
Like, no, wait. We had Kawhi in the original count.
Okay, you did have Kawhi.
Yeah, yeah. Iggy's one of those people that people have started throwing out that conversation. Is Andre Iguodala a Hall of Famer? First of all, I think it's a ridiculous conversation.
Right. So, like, the point you're making is very good, that the role players that are around these teams LeBron is facing are much better than the role players that Jordan had to face.
The singular names.
Like, if you
though.
Look at that, I went back and looked at the 98 finals and look at the different box scores. There's four or five games throughout that both six-game series where the Jazz had two guys in double figures, and you just had these role players like Greg Ostertag and Brian Russell and Antoine Carr and like the Knicks' current coach, Jeff Hornacek, where all they were asked to do was play defense or make two shots a game or, you know, lock down, like literally just lock down one defender, and it was, we'll let Malone and Stockton do the scoring. And role players have a much bigger role in today's game. Like you said, Jason Terry, like Tony Parker, I don't know if he was in the original count, but
yeah, he was.
Right, so role players, like Sean Livingston, he's probably be a starter anywhere else in the league, and he's like the eighth best player on the Warrior. JaVale McGee would arguably be an all-star if he played like starter minutes for a different team, and he is like the Warriors' backup center. I'm with you with the general point that the role players LeBron faces are much more complete. Having said that, LeBron's team is also deeper than Jordan's Bulls as well. So it's just it's two different eras.
And I'm with you. I think that his best bet is just to stay in Cleveland and try to improve that team. I don't believe for a minute that he's going to go and join the Lakers, because that is a very young, unproven team, and you have no idea how those players are going to develop. Yeah, I mean, they may draft Lonzo Ball. There's no guarantee that Lonzo Ball is going to be.
Oh, wait, didn't you hear the latest report?
What's the latest?
Josh Jackson.
Josh Jackson, yeah. Oh, then I heard that, too, that Lonzo Ball showed up out of shape for his workout as well. But, I mean, aside from all that, Lonzo Ball may end up being a very good NBA player, but does LeBron have time to wait for him to develop and the 2 or 3 years that it takes for him to be a championship-caliber player while he's getting older and more minutes are going on his body? No, I don't think so. I'm with you 100%. He's not going to find a better sidekick than Kyrie Irving right now.
Yeah, so the timing of it also would have to play a part. If you're LeBron and you're going to L.A., it's in probably 2 years, so Paul George would probably be also going there. And let me just put this thought in your head. Russell Westbrook has made it very clear that he's from the Los Angeles area, he went to UCLA, that there have been rumors that he wants to eventually go play for the Lakers. If you team those three up, Westbrook, LeBron, and Paul George, and then you add a growing Lonzo Ball and a Brandon Ingram and a Julius Randle, I'm not sure how those pieces would fit. I also wasn't sure how well the LeBron Heat and Dwayne Wade Heat would fit.
Yeah,
that ended up working out. That's a potential team that could happen. I don't know how or if, but just something to chew on before I come on next time.
Yeah, and I love Beastbrook, but I can't see any way that he and LeBron coexist.
That's a lot of possessions. The thing I've seen about LeBron, though, is that he's okay shooting like 16 shots a game. So if he's okay just dishing to Westbrook, then I think they can't coexist
because you take away Kyrie Irving's 3-point shot, and that's what Russell Westbrook is, and there's no way LeBron and Kyrie work if Kyrie can't shoot threes.
You're probably right. I'm just throwing it out there that there is a coalition that could happen that would entice LeBron James to go to L.A. I don't think it'll happen. I still think LeBron's best chance to chase championships later into his career. We also got to remember, and I understand he's like Superman, so we don't think it's ever going to happen. LeBron's 32 years old.
Yes.
Like, eventually he's not going to be able to go at this pace and this stamina and I mean, I wait for it to happen, and I'm done predicting that this is going to be the year that LeBron does it, but like, we can't expect him to be at this in 3 years, right?
We said that 3 years ago, though.
Yeah, he's 29. And now
also,
he's 3 years, he's going to be 35 years old, and he'll have so many miles on
yeah,
that
Yeah, he will.
I'm telling
tank.
You, 3 years from now, we're going to discover that LeBron's secret best friend, secret best texting friend, is Jaromir Jagr, and they've been hiding the Fountain of Youth from the
there
rest of
go.
Us.
There we go. That's what it's been, those
so
two
when
the
LeBron,
entire time.
When LeBron is playing in his 15th straight finals at the age of 41, we're all going to wonder what in God's name is going on, and then we're going to break the story. That's going to be what it is. Jaromir Jagr is teaching him what
so
to do.
Is this Fountain of Youth the same one that Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds?
A-Rod,
well?
Yeah.
I'm throwing any allegations anybody.
They're all in South Florida. You could just find them in almost any street corner.
I cannot confirm nor deny, nor am I making any
tell you what, that New York media, that New York media takes a nugget and just runs. Give them an inch, they'll take a foot.
Andrew Claudio from the Nothing But Knicks podcast and Gotham Sport Network joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. All right, Claudio, it's call time. Who you got and what's going to happen? What's the score going to be?
I got the Warriors tonight. I think it's going to be something similar to game one or two. I think they score in the 120s. I think LeBron James is one of the greatest players I've ever seen. I think the Warriors are too good, and this will be Kevin Durant's first ring. He's going to win the Finals MVP. If you want me to give a score, 121-102 will be the final score tonight.
You heard it here first. Everybody, take your money out of savings and put it on that. And if you don't win out, then Andrew Claudio will refund you.
Now, granted, in like 4 hours. I might also be 100% wrong. So I want to be back tomorrow if the Cavs win and say, by the way, I was just kidding.
Sounds good, Andrew. Have a good night. Enjoy the game.
Take care, guys.
That is the great Andrew Claudio from the Nothing But Knicks podcast and Gotham SN. You can follow him on Twitter at Claudio_GSN. Let's take a commercial break. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.